week.
Well, I'm pretty excited just to get back out there and play some footy. I love the game and I've missed it so much over the last 2 years.
Not many times Melbourne get a chance to play Friday night, so we'll make the most of it.
Learnt playing Collingwood, and anytime I see a magpie, I just target it because it just gets me in the right mindset.
Last year was last year and there's nothing we can do about it.
I don't think I played a game in a short sleeve jumper my whole life until I got divorced. But when you got linguine arms like me, you don't tend to show them off.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Good old Linguini Arm Smith joins us on the Inner Sanctum today from the Hawks. After a disappointing weekend, a fair bit of conversation going on since that time, and a game against the Demons this weekend at Giants Stadium. Isaac Smith, good morning to you.
Morning, Harp. How are you going?
I'm going well. How are your Linguini Arms tracking in New South Wales?
Good. We don't get any Victorian media up here, so we haven't heard any of it.
No, that's a lie, because Ben McAvoy in front of the media yesterday. Don't lie to me, Isaac.
It doesn't pass the border, mate. It's in lockdown. I'm finally in the decent state, and I can't get out of it.
Hey. Hey, we've made you famous down here. We've made you famous down here in Victoria. What's been the wash-up, Isaac, since Friday night?
Yeah, it was pretty disappointing. We just didn't perform, and Collingwood were too good for us. So, we checked over a few things over the last few days, and I'm looking forward to putting up a better performance against Melbourne. But, it was disappointing. Yeah, we have had a bit of a tough run, but we put ourselves in a great position to be 3-1, and now we're 3-3, which is disappointing. But I think it's going to be that type of season where it's a little bit up and down and all over the shop.
How much of it, Friday, if we go back to that game specifically, how much of it the outcome was them being really good, and how much of it was you guys not doing what you were trying to do?
I think they were really good in the first half. If you have a look at the statistics and the rest of the game, we were quite good. We just couldn't score. So, certainly they came out and shocked us, and they controlled the game, and they controlled the energy and the momentum of the game, and we struggled to get that back.
I can't remember you got a Hawthorn being under so much pressure for so long when the ball was in general play, as I saw Friday night. I think that was one of the things that stood out for me from their perspective, is that they were just unrelenting and gave you no time and space whatsoever. Is that how it felt?
Yeah, they certainly brought a high pressure game, and I think they probably reviewed their game after playing Essendon the week before, because Essendon really turned up the pressure on them probably halfway through the first quarter. And we just weren't ready for it, which was disappointing. And we've got a 9-day break now, which is good, and we're able to work on a few things, and hopefully put up better performance against Melbourne.
Isaac, when you say you can't score, at times, you can't score at times. Like, there's just halves where there is no goal. So I'm interested, just to try and take the outrage out of it, and to explain to our listeners how that happens out on the field where you just can't score.
Yeah, I think at the moment, Whitey, the game is either a turnover transition game or a centre bounce game. So with the shorter quarters, certainly the intensity of the game's gone up, and you can feel that out there as a player. And I think teams, what they're trying to do is lock the ball in their half, and because the quarters are so much shorter, they get the opportunity with high energy football to sort of lock you away. And even if you get it out, teams are setting up so well to intercept the ball, and then putting a lot of intensity around it, even if you happen to win it as the team that's been defending for a long time. So we had a good look yesterday at how we can move the ball a little bit better, and how we can put ourselves in positions to score more regularly. So, even though we were pretty disappointed with the outcome Friday night, we said there's a bit of blue sky. With that, going back and looking at the GWS game where we probably didn't score, we went back and looked at a fair few of the opportunities we missed there, and we probably had 15 to 20 opportunities that we really should have capitalised on in any other ordinary game we would have scored, and somehow we just managed to bugger it up. So we're still getting chances, we're just really not capitalising on them, which is disappointing.
So, and without giving away secrets, and I don't expect you would, is it a situation where you have to play differently because other teams have worked out your strengths? Because some of your best footy this year has been really, really good. Or is it that you've just gone away from what has made you a good team at times this year and certainly towards the end of last year?
I think a little bit of both, Whitey. I think we've identified that we can do some things better or a little bit different, but we've also identified that... and I think you've noticed it with every team in the competition. When a team gets a jump on them and when we've won our games, we've jumped teams early.
Yep.
And their motivation and their energy and their thirst for the contest just gets zapped so quickly because they're 16-minute quarters and before you know it, the quarter time siren's going and then if you can't get control of it in the second quarter, it's half time. And I still think the psychology around it all is much to do with the full-length game when in turn... You know, it's probably 20 to 25% shorter.
So yeah, when do you think that will change? You'll be able to make what's happening now the norm and understand that that does affect games differently, but just be able to get your head around it and deal with that in the moment.
Yeah, well, I think certainly us as a football club are looking at it and understanding just the shortened bit of it, and I'm sure all clubs are looking at it, but as a player, it certainly makes a big difference, and it's actually... you don't get that long grind, and you used to see in a lot of games where, say, a team would get a jump on another team, you'd see three or four goals early in the quarter, but you could see a team wrestle it back in the last 2 or 3 minutes, which they effectively call red time of the quarter. So you're probably not seeing that anywhere near as much, and that's why you're probably seeing a lot lower scores. In saying that, though, Carlton ended up kicking over 100 points on the weekend and played a very free-flowing game.
Yep.
Yeah, they did. I'm interested, and we've asked you a lot of these questions over the time, Isaac, just when you're going in a bit through a bit of a funk about what Alistair's like behind closed doors. Is he angry with what's happened the last couple of weeks, or does he come out, you know, and speak to you and say, right, I've got a plan to get ourselves out of this? What's he like behind the scenes? So I would imagine he'd be really up for the challenge in this situation to get you playing better footy and get you scoring again.
Yeah, I've always said to my wife that Clarko's at his best if we lose 2 or 3 on the trot. He goes back into his teacher mode, and when he goes through things and he explains it, it's so clear, and he's got such an understanding of the game that he ends up just naturally pushing that onto the players. And yesterday was a really productive day for us, and he was brilliant, and... not that I want to lose 2 or 3 games in a row too often. But, yeah, it was really good just to sit down. And when you sit down and just talk footy with him, he's probably got as much knowledge as anyone out there. So it was a very productive day.
So do you leave the meeting very differently to when you go in? Like, so do you go in and think, what's going on here? Now, this is frustrating the hell out of me. And then you come out going, okay, let's get out and train this. So I want to get right into it. Or do you kind of know you've played enough footy now and a lot of successful footy that you kind of know what's going wrong? It's just got to be emphasised.
Oh, well, the feeling of the group's certainly that, Whitey. You know, both go in head scratching. And then I think Clarko's great strength, along with being a teacher, is he's able to spin it and motivate us so you don't walk out in a way... where you're completely depressed and think you can't play football. He still does it in a way where you walk out and you think that you're going to take on the world the next week. So I think that's why he's been so successful over 15, 20 years of coaching. And he certainly sees the game well, and he's got some great assistants underneath him that see it well. And they highlighted a couple of things yesterday that we think if we can turn it around, then we can definitely turn this... 7-day funk, maybe, around, if we call it that.
That's a good word.
It is a good word, like funk. Speaking of taking on the world, the world's sort of looking and coming for you a bit now. There's been a lot of conversation about the Hawks in the last couple of weeks, and you just said you were 3-1 at one stage, and you've played 4 of the top 6 on the very congested AFL table after 6 rounds. Are you starting to feel the heat? Is the conversation, even though you are... And in a hub outside of Victoria at the moment, which you very, very clearly made the point of early doors, are you starting to feel a little bit of heat coming on the footy club and Clarko at the moment?
Not necessarily. To be honest, mate, being in these hubs, you are quite isolated. Yeah. And unless you have a subscription to a newspaper in Melbourne or you follow all the links pretty closely, we are pretty away from everything. So... it's interesting, mate, being in these hubs. So to tell you the truth, you certainly don't feel it as much as you would if you're in Melbourne. And you can understand how the Swans players back in their heyday would say that they wouldn't hear much noise coming out of Melbourne, and you hear a lot of the northern states, maybe not the western states, as footy's their number one and only sport type thing. But yeah, it's all rugby league and all rugby union up here. Peter Volandis is a big deal.
yes, he is, and has been for quite some time. What is it? Giant Stadium. Hawthorn are winless at Giant Stadium. Now, you play a pretty good team there in the Giants of recent years, and of course the Magpies are a fantastic team as well. Is there anything in that venue that doesn't suit the way you play, or is it just a quirky little stat?
I've got no idea, mate, but it's doing my head in. I've played five games there and I've lost five times. We've played one game at the MCG this year. I wouldn't mind getting back to the cathedral and playing a few games there. But I think we're at the Giant Stadium this week against Melbourne, so we've got to figure it out quick, smart, because it's actually starting to do my head in as well.
Well, if it's doing your head in, chances are it's doing someone else's head in. Is it a conversation? Do you talk about it?
Yeah, it got mentioned. It was sort of something that didn't really get mentioned, because previously we'd played GWS up there, and the last, you know, two or three years that we've played them up there, they've sort of been a top of the table football side. So you go up there and you have a good contest, and sometimes when you're playing a team that's in the top two and they beat you, you know, they're just too good on the day. So we were fortunate we got to play them at Canberra last year. But yeah, I think now it's been made aware that we are actually zipping five there, and we need to pull our finger out and get a win against Melbourne this week.
Average 33-point loss at the Showgrounds, Whitey.
Oh, thanks, Arf. Cheers.
I'm just bringing it up. Yeah. We talk facts around here. You know we talk facts.
Well, sometimes.
How are you feeling going into Melbourne? Because you've played some strange games against Melbourne over the last period of time. Some close matches, some unexpected losses, and then some good wins there. It's a hard game to read. Do you go in really confident that things will be okay?
Yeah, we're going in with a confident approach, and we think if we play our best football, we can beat anyone in the competition. I know that's a bit of a throwaway line, but we have shown this year that when we play well, we play well, but when we play poorly, we've played poorly and probably below what you'd expect. So to me, I look at Melbourne's best 22, and they've actually got a pretty good 22 on paper. So it'll be interesting to see what they dish up on Sunday, and it should be a pretty good contest. So really hoping we get the 4 points, because in this hub life, you tend to spend every minute of your day with someone to do with football, so you can't really get away from it. So, the mood's good around Coogee. Hopefully the mood's not so good around Manly for Melbourne, and we go in and we play a good game of footy.
I wanted to ask you about hub life, because I reckon that it'd do your head in that you're around footy people all the time, that you can't have that break. And also, obviously, you know, you've got a young daughter at home, and Candice is at home, and you're away from that your young family. How are you coping personally with that?
Well, Whitey, I've been fortunate. I've been able to bring them up just because Isla is so young. So, it has been handy to be able to sort of get into my room and just have a little bit of normality. So I think they'll be here on the Sydney leg, and then when we take off to Perth, they'll head home. So, I've been very fortunate, and the football club's been great at supporting all the boys with the families, as I think all but one of the players' families are up on this Sydney leg. So, it's actually been really nice to see a lot of kids and happy, smiley faces around the place, because obviously they don't ride the wins and the losses. So it actually has been a really nice environment, and the club's done a great job at making everyone feel supported.
Will that be challenging going to Perth, knowing that you can't have that family support, or is it for you it is what it is?
Oh, mate, for me it is what it is, and you know, the majority of the staff that we've brought up here as well have families at home. So I know that I've been in quite a fortunate position, even be able to have them here for a week. So it is what it is, mate, and we'll just do what we've got to do to get the season done, and hopefully we'll get to spend many, many, many more years together, and it's only a short period of our life that we'll be away from each other.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to celebrate a victory on the weekend at Giants Stadium for the first time, Isaac, the Demons on Sunday. Check your local guide for more details on when and where.
just start well, Isaac, please. You can tell with Hawthorn after 5 minutes whether you get whether you're on or off. You've got to start well.
Oh, I know we do. You tell me about it. When you're on the wing and the ball's not coming out your side, you're like, oh, no, what's going on here?
In no man's land when that happens. Good luck to you, Isaac, and to the boys as well on Sunday. We appreciate your time.
All right, guys. Hope you're having fun in Melbourne.
We are always
not
having
really
fun.
Not really.
Always. Isaac Linguini-Arms-Smith with